Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I feel all right this morning. All right. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says this. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, in the body or flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to talk to you this morning from the subject. Go to my title page. How to live from your heart. Your heart is this. It's he plus art equals heart. He is the big he, is God through his son Jesus. Art is the competence and how you do what you do in life. And you need both. Here's the object of my lesson today. There's an art and a heart to what you do. The heart is the passion behind what you do. The art is the competence behind what you do. And what God wants to do is marry your passion with your competence to produce something great in life. You can love to cook but be a bad cook, and nobody will want your food. Or you can love to cook and hate people. Y'all right in here. And nobody will eat your food either. But when you love people and you love to cook, what you produce is something spectacular. This message will teach you how to connect who God is with what you do in life. Let's go to my first slide here. He plus art is living life, not just existing. Is anybody just, you're not just going to exist in life? That life is more than just clocking in, paying bills. Anybody feel like you're called to an extraordinary life? If that's you, that's who I'm talking to. He is having a covenant connection with God through his son, Jesus Christ. When you are in covenant, the lesser takes on the power of the greater. Anybody got kids in here? Isaiah, he doesn't do it now, but he still had those costumes. He'll put on Batman, he'll put on Superman, whoever he is. And when Isaiah put on that costume, he became whoever the costume he was on. You couldn't tell him he couldn't fly. You couldn't tell him that when he punched me, he didn't knock a hole in my chest. But the reality is this, when I wrap myself in God's word, whatever he is, I am in this world. And when Satan reminds you you're weak, you say, I am, but he's strong. And when his strength gets in my weakness, I am made perfect. You all right? Yeah. So as he is, so am I in this world. That's the he. The art part is the system to produce what's in your heart. It's how you get done what you do. I want to start with an example. Y'all remember David in the Bible? That David was a man. He made all kind of mistakes. If you want to, if you struggle with anybody, well, don't raise your hand. You may struggle with issues in here. Just sit on them. I'll raise mine. You struggle with issues in here. There was a man in the Bible who had great issues. Let me tell you how great his issues were. He went on. He was supposed to be at war. He went on a tower at the top of his house, saw a woman taking a bath. Said, "I want her." He had her brought in. Found out she had a husband. Had her husband killed in war. You all right in here? This is a man who loved God. The Bible said it's a man after my own heart. He had all these kind of things going on in his life, but God said, this is a man after my own heart. He played an instrument called a harp. There was a man by the name of Saul who was a king who called David in to play his harp. David played his harp so that Saul was being tormented by a demonic spirit, but when David played, the demonic spirit left. There are a lot of great people in this world. There are a lot of great personalities. There are a lot of professionals, but there's not a lot of people who have the presence of God. When you do what you do, what shows up? It's one thing to go through the motions, but when you are connected with God, God's presence shows up in everything you do. I see a lot of mothers, but there's something about a mother with the presence of God on her. I've seen a lot of fathers, but there's something about a father who has the presence of God. They make things look easy. What's the difference? David just wasn't professional. He was connected to God. Let me show you how to connect. Go to my slide here. The next one is you got to do it through your heart. My heart is driven by he. Galatians 2:20 says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now, that don't mean I hate myself. That don't mean like, oh, my God, God doesn't want me to be happy. He don't know. What it says is I accept God's purpose over my plans. Can I ask somebody, how are your plans working? If your plans would have worked, thank God they didn't, you would have married the wrong person. You would have moved. Come on, y'all looking at me. I got a few smiles right there. You would have did a whole lot of things the wrong way. But anybody glad that sometimes God shuts stuff down and says no? Because I behind every no that God says, he has a greater yes. And all God wants you to do is say yes. Now, there's some of us who made some great mistakes, and God let us live through our plans to see his great purpose revealed in our life. Come on, is anybody here, you done made some great mistakes in life? and you've seen God let you live through those mistakes just to see his purpose be revealed in your life, and right now you're smiling because you found out his purpose is greater than my plans. My heart is driven by the big he, which is God through his son Jesus. He gives me my purpose. I don't have to manufacture one. He's the source of my strength, and what I'm doing, I'm not doing it in my own strength. I'm doing it by the strength of God. God loves people, and because of this, I stay in tune with God. Let me tell you how great God is. You're sitting in a building now. You do know we're not in the city, right? Y'all know how far y'all drove to get here? I say this not in jest, but I say this just as a testimony. The guy that used to pastor here, he drove by. He's in a retirement home. He drove by like a week or two ago, and he came by and shook my hand and said, "Man, you guys are doing great." He said, "Tell me what all you bought around here." And I told him what all we bought, what all we done, and all our plans and what we have going on. He said, "I'd have never imagined." He began to tell me his story again. His church split 3 times in this same building and was down to 12 members when they shut the door and handed the keys of the building over to us. And his last parting words to me when he shook my hand was, "Good luck." God will prosper you in a place where others saw no hope because you're connected to the one who has hope. This building ain't nothing but a bunch of brick and wood. But when you bring the presence of God, I'm not saying that's not a reflection. That's not a reflection of them. But it's a reflection of, I can only speak to what we're doing. When you invoke the presence of God, I told you, God will put you in the middle of nowhere and turn nowhere into somewhere because you're there. Because you got his presence. The next thing I do after I discover, I got to get connected. I got to find my core. My core is what I'm all about. I need to find out what's in my heart and invest my time, talent, and treasure with what's in my heart. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." I don't care what your mouth says. I'm going to watch where your money and your time goes to figure out what it is that you really love. Can I ask you a question? What did you do with your time this week? When you spend time worrying, you spend time investing in something that you don't want to happen. You spend time contemplating, if this happens, my life will fall apart. And God says, won't you find the answer to what you're worrying about and meditate that, because you worrying is not changing the problem. But if you focus on the word of God, your problem won't change the word, but the word will change your problem. And if you'll find the word of God, the answer to the situation, and meditate that, you'll find your problems, watch this, they may not go away, but they won't be as big as they are in your life, because you'll magnify the Lord with me, and you will exalt his name, and God becomes bigger than he will ever be in your life. Can I ask you, where'd you spend your money this week? I'm trying to lose weight. Well, McDonald's, Checkers, Crystals says otherwise. Whatever you're investing in is what you're going to find yourself producing. Can I get you to take a tally this week? Where did you spend your time? Where did you spend your money, and where did you spend your energy? I hate drama. Well, you argue with people the whole week. If you hate drama, don't answer the phone when they call. Don't respond to the text. Well, you don't understand. You don't have to answer. If you don't like it, where are you spending your time and your energy? And the next thing is this. After you find your core, you got to guard it. You got to guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guarding your heart is not staying closed off. It's not being just scary of everything. It's like having a garden. When you have a garden, you want to grow certain fruit in there. And you got to guard the fruit and get the weeds out of there. Can I tell you that I believe some of us care more about a physical product than we do our heart? Because we let people sow gossip, we let people sow negativity, we sow all kind of foolish stuff in our heart and wonder why we're producing trash, because we're sowing trash into our heart. There comes a point in life where you got to cut the cord on all the negativity that you're sowing in your heart and all this negative stuff, because it's suffocating out what God wants to do. When you cut that stuff off, you start to produce life. Because out of your heart flows the issues of life. Two types of issues. One is positive issues. They attract you to your destiny. Look at your neighbor and say, "You got issues. And I got issues too." Now, there are negative issues, which is the one we're used to. The negative issues, if I don't deal with them, they'll deal with me. Y'all right in here? Yeah, it was several years back. I was driving in a parking lot, and this lady cut me off, and I was about, you know, she's about to take my parking spot. And, you know, and I didn't do it. But you know how you get that urge to tell somebody they're number one? You know what I'm talking about? And I did not do it. That's just not right. And I got in the store, and I was like, man, I'm going to just tell this lady off. I got in the store, and the lady that cut me off, pass the scales. How you doing? She don't go here, but I didn't ever want to ruin my witness. I still got a seat for her. If she ever wants to come, you never know who you're running into. That person you cussed out at Starbucks could be the one you're about to interview with next month. That person you ignore, you act like they ain't nobody on your job, could be the one a couple years from now that run the whole department, and they gonna remember you. You all right in here? You got to be careful, because if you don't deal with your flesh will deal with you. So you got to know your positive issues and your negative issues, and look at your heart to see what God has put in there and build based on that. That's heart. The next one is art. Art is this. It's having competence in what I'm called to do. Paul said, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So I got to live the life that God has given me. A lot of us have a life, but we're not living it. Art is how you live what he's placed inside of you. You can live it well, average, or you can live it bad. But you're going to live it. Art is about developing a system. A system is a method that you use to bring forth what's in your heart. And your system is the lid to what you're doing in life. I gave an example earlier. Keith is on the organ. Keith is the musical director here. Keith has served as a musical director for many people. Nicole C. Mullen we'd have here. Say Keith needs an organist. Keith finds the best dude he can find. Man, it's a great dude, great spirit. He loved God, do all that stuff like that. But he only plays in two chords. Keith now is reduced to what this guy can play. He's got three choices. He can play every song in the two chords the guy knows. He can fire the guy. Or the guy can make a decision that I'm going to take my what God has given me, my call, and equip it and learn more than these two chords that I know. Can I challenge you in here? What are you doing based off that scenario in life? Are you reducing life to the two chords that you know? Are you reducing life to the neighborhood that you grew up in? Are you reducing life to the food that you're comfortable eating? Are you reducing life to what you're comfortable with when it comes to the things of God? Or are you willing to expand what you know and know that God has done a whole lot more than you've ever seen, and he's got a whole lot more in store than you can ever imagine, and you say, God, if you got to make me uncomfortable, I'm cool with that, but expand me so I can have all that there is of you. Look at your neighbor and say, what's your lid? Well, many of us, fear is our lid. Race is our lid. All these things serve as lids on what God wants to do. Your system is a crucial success in life. I like studying businesses. Anybody know who Ray Kroc is? Yes, right there. Ray Kroc is a founder of McDonald's. But check this out. Ray Kroc didn't actually, he actually franchised it, but he was a milkshake seller. He sold the systems to make milkshakes and went in a store in California, and there were the McDonald brothers were in there. And he was so enamored with their operation that they could produce a quality hamburger, and they were efficient in their time. He loved their system, and he talked those guys in. He said, let's franchise this and take it all over the world. They franchised McDonald's, and watch this. He realized that he wasn't buying a hamburger per se. He was buying a business. You all right in here? A lot of you in here make better hamburgers than the Big Mac or the quarter pounder with cheese with special sauce. Y'all right in here? At McDonald's. But McDonald's is serving millions, and we're serving family reunions. What McDonald's is selling is not just a hamburger. It's a system that I can get in 5 minutes, and I can get out. But if I come to your house, I'm going to go to work smelling like grease, and everybody's sniffing on the side. I'm like, man, where you been getting that stuff at? All this stuff like that, because it ain't going to be 5 minutes. You're going to have to sit down and let this stuff marinate right here. But what they're selling is a system, and the system works. What God wants you to have is not just a great product, but a system. Many of us stay in this stage of our life. You're enamored with what you're called to do, and you spend all of your time on your gift instead of how to get your gifting out to the world. Your gift is as great as it will ever be. Yes, invest in it. Yes, go to school. Do all of those things, but figure out, how do I connect in this world? Watch this. This is Acts 1:8 says this. Ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Spirit has come up on you. Let me see if y'all better than the first service. And ye shall be what? I got some Bible readers in here. Witnesses. He doesn't give you power for nothing. He gives you a system to go get the power out in life. What God wants to know is, can you produce a system to get out of you the very thing that I placed on the inside of you? Next slide is this. Many of us fall into two categories. He with no art, or art with no he. When you have he with no heart, he's present, but you don't know what to do with him. I love it when I see people feel the power of God for the first time. They say, I don't know what to do. They just start shaking. They start screaming. I'm like, hey, listen, God is coming to do more to make you. He's not trying to scare you. He's coming to bring you power so that you can face. Y'all right in here? Face your situation. Y'all, some of y'all remember the first time y'all felt the presence of God. Y'all threw wig, pocketbook, knocked everybody out on your roll. Just didn't know. Watch this. When the Spirit of God comes, he comes for a reason. That is your response to his prayer. Y'all right in here? This is Pentecost Sunday. You guys may not know this. Pentecost Sunday is when the Holy Spirit, they came in the upper room, and they tarry, and they receive power from on high. And it's when the Holy Spirit was introduced, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And I believe in all of that stuff. But I believe the reason the Holy Spirit came was not just to make you feel good and for us to have great services. It came to bring you power. You all right in here? And when God brings power, he wants you to do something with it. You know what you do with power? You put light bulbs in. You plug stuff into it. You start to do stuff with the power that's available. There's a pole out front that has unlimited power on it. But this building will have no more power than what we can handle. We have to put a circuit breaker in. We have to have a main breaker. We have to have outlets. We have to have instruments to pull on the power. You have as much power in your life right now as what you can handle. You got to create room and ground yourself to deal with the power of God coming in your life. Can I ask you in here, what do you need to make room for so that the power of God can come and invade your life and he can get on your art and you do some incredible things in life? If you don't understand the power, here's what happened. He with no heart looks like good intention and you sincere, but you're inconsistent and unpredictable. You have a recipe for frustration because you got great dreams, but you have no idea what role you play in the dream. You have no idea what you have the capacity to do. The next thing is this. You're nomadic and vulnerable when you have he with no heart because you search the world over looking for a place to manifest what's inside of you because you don't really know what you got. So you try stuff. And you're vulnerable for somebody that comes in that sells you a false hope because this ain't working right here. And the next thing you know, you're going over here. And next thing you know, you're going over there because you haven't settled yourself because you don't have a system. You got a dream. You just don't have a system to operate. Is that making sense in here? Or you can be art with no he, no love in what you do. None. It's just a bunch of verbiage. I don't want to be a church that doesn't have love. You're passionate. You have no passion in what you do. And it's just going through the motions, and you become monotonous. You know what monotonous looks like? Time to go to church on Sunday. What are they going to sing? Rev, you better preach me happy today. I done had a rough week. You already know. Y'all asked me to raise my hand one more time. I'm telling you. I don't want to touch my neighbor. Why? I don't even know them. They didn't come with me. Why do you keep asking me to talk to my neighbor? And you got all that. Y'all know what I'm talking about in here. And life becomes monotonous. We're going to church on Sunday. Here we go. Time to go home. Right, baby, what are we going to eat today? Kids, they act up. Let me go and get the kids straight. And life is just monotonous, but there is no heart in it. When there's no heart, you know what it looks like? I went and got Barbara and I pizza the other day. And I watched. I waited for 15 minutes. I timed it. And I saw a couple in front of me. They said two words to each other in 15 minutes. Couples are supposed to go out to eat together, right? Yes. You're supposed to have a date night. Yes. But what happens if you have a date and love don't show up? They sit there and just looking at each other, nothing to say, no emotion, just there. How many of us are just there? I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm not telling you to look for another relationship. I'm asking you to invite the he into your art. I'm asking God to help you deal with your pride that you forgive whatever you need to forgive, let go of what you need to let go of, so he can invade your presence so you're not just two bodies taking up a space. I'm asking you to take the limits off God. What if God wants to do something great in you today, but you are too afraid? I want them folks to see me praising God. Because you done talked about everybody you ever seen praise God. How sister so-and-so shout. You know, she do like this when she shout. And you done mocked everybody's shout that you know. And child, did you see her fall out? She fell real slow. I ain't never seen anybody fall that slow before. She took out, and watch this. And the mere fact that you've done that, now you're afraid to praise God because you don't want nobody talking about you. Can I tell you there comes a point in life where you don't care about what nobody says. You know that your dream is so great and that God has been so good that I don't care who says what. You say, God, any way you bless me, I will be satisfied. Because God, I just need your presence, because without it, I am nothing. You know what else happens when you have art with no heat? You are incredibly hard to work with. I had a boss that was this way. He said, Jason, you're wrong, and I'm going to tell you why. I hated to see him come around because he was right, and he made me pay for being wrong. Just teach me. Don't make me feel like an idiot. You all right in here? When you have no heart with it, you just dead set on, this is the way we do it, and this is why you do it, and it leads to putting policy over people. And rules over relationship. I'll have a very transparent moment. There was a season in my life where I struggled with pornography. And I remember God delivered me from that. And I was sitting in a church service and a guy was up preaching. And I was in there with several of my friends. We were in college. I knew a young lady. She'd had an abortion. I know there were all kinds of people in there. And the preacher preached so hard that we felt like this. I see you sitting in here, you nasty, sitting up looking at that pornography. Trifling man sitting up there running around with somebody else's wife, you old loose woman, you floozy. I ain't even know what a floozy was. I found out. And we all left out there feeling about this big. Here's the reality. If I wanted to change that day, I would not have. Because you can't make me hate myself and then accept Jesus. Why would I hate what he created? Make me understand what he created me to be so I walk away from the junk that is keeping me away from what I need to be. And I embrace love. And when I embrace love, I embrace the commandment. Jesus, what shall we do? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. I can't love you and hate me. Jesus faced this. There was a woman called an another excuse in sin. I'm giving you how to get delivered from sin. Because what condemnation says is hate yourself because you're horrible. And if you hate yourself, when you get ready to speak truth, he'll talk you out of speaking truth and living right because you feel so bad about yourself. I can't do that. I'm such a horrible person. You can't do that. But when God's truth gets in you, he delivers you from that junk and you can do what Christ says you can do. There's a woman caught in adultery. And they came to her with stones in their hand. And they brought it. You think about this. They found a woman caught in adultery, and they had stones in their hands. So she's walking with Jesus with the guys with stones. Why do they have stones? Because they said the law of Moses said if you catch people in adultery, you got to stone them. Jesus said, ye without sin, cast the first stone. They dropped all of their stones. Was Jesus excusing her sin? Absolutely not. He must have saw something in this woman that she was at a breaking point of change. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, I have none. And he said, I have no accusation. But here's how Jesus left her. He said, go your way and sin no more. He freed her from her bondage so that she can be who you are, who she was. What Christ does is not excuse your sin. He hates it. Do you know how much he hates sin? He sent his son to die for it. That's how much he hates it. He said, I want you to be free from all that stuff that's derailing your destiny, but I want you to fall in love with me and let me live through you. And I want you to have he with your art so you can live life. Hey, somebody in here, you may have committed, you may have had, man, you adultery, you may abortion, you may have been, man, you the best gossiper and cusser, you get down when it comes to sin. You're in here, you're beating yourself up. This is the last day. I know a Savior that if you receive him, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You can't go low enough that God can't get you. If I pass the mic in this room, we all sitting here, cute ladies, nail done, hair done, everything. Yeah, you know, fellas, you look real good in here. But if I pass the mic, some of us got some stories that if God wouldn't God, you wouldn't want him to know about. But the reason you're sitting here looking as good as you are is that God beautifies the meek with salvation, and you don't look like what you've been through. There are people in here who have been to the death doors, strung out on crack cocaine, gambling addictions, pornography addictions, adultery, lying. All of those things are sitting right here in this house. But such were some of you. But God has a way of separating you from your sin so that you don't have to beat yourself up for the rest of your life. You can look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm free, no longer bound, no more chains holding me. Why? Because he put who he was in who I am. Look at me real good. Is there anybody in here that's ever prayed to God and he reminded you of your past? Never. You remind him of your past, but he never reminds you of it. God says, if you can overcome it and give it to me, I've got a greater life for you. Y'all right in here? I didn't mean to get stuck right there. But you resist change when you have art with no he. You're more connected to the directions than you are the director. And what brought momentum this year may not bring momentum next year. We do some incredible things here at BFF. But if you keep around here, what we're doing this year, we may not be doing next year. But the same God is going to be in here. Because as you grow, things have to change. God may be calling an audible in some of your life. He may be asking you to be flexible and to grow and change. But your resistance to change hinders what he can do in your life. I'm through. Can you go to my next slide here? When you have heart with art, you become genuine. Anybody ever had somebody sell something to you that you know they wouldn't buy themselves? Yeah, you know you wouldn't even eat this. You wouldn't even buy this. How are you going to sell something that you're not partaking of yourself? I would be crazy if I come sold you hope. But then I sit up, the Lord checked me and said, how are you going to worry all week and preach faith on Sunday? There comes a certain point where you got to be genuine with your issues, but be real in your life and say, God, live through me. When you're believable, there's something that comes on you when he gets in you. You could have been the biggest liar. You could have been a great deceiver. But when the presence of God gets on you, he washes the residue away of what you used to be. I'm a living witness. He straightens you up. Anybody? No, don't raise your hand on this one again. You may have had a problem telling the truth. You may have stretched it a little bit. But when God gets a hold of you, everybody knew, probably knew you were a liar. But God puts his weight in your words. Now everybody believes what you say. Not in light of your past, but in light of who he is. Can we stop? And can anybody testify to say there's some things that God has delivered you from? And if people looked at you now, they would have no idea you went through that. They would have no clue that what the stuff you used to do. Some of you may have suffered with low self-esteem and you hated the way you look. And now people look at the glow you walk with now. Some of you may have been on drugs, all kind of things. And now you're sitting here confident. Can we take about 30 seconds just to lift our hands and tell God, thank you that you delivered me from what I was. And you helped me to become what you want me to be. Now, I need somebody with a real memory that remembers the crazy ways that you used to have and the things that were a part of your life that you remember, singing, and then you left certain things at home, and you remember preaching, and there were certain things that were part of your life that didn't need to be. You remember having an addiction and a stronghold, and you were just going through the motions. You remember what life was like when you had a home, but you didn't really have you had a house, but you didn't have a home, and you had all these things going on, but God came in and filled you with his presence. I really believe that in this moment, can I stop? There's somebody in here that you're at perhaps a breaking point where you're just going through the motions and there's no real presence in what you're doing. There's no presence in your marriage. There's no presence in your time with God. I mean, you could be an athlete and you just dribbling a ball. You could be a nurse and you just, I tell you what, if you're a nurse, before you stick me, love what you're doing. I ain't got time to sit here and look like somebody just been, you know what I'm talking about. Hear me. You married your spouse for a reason. I want God to remind you. Because life has happened and you begin to question certain things. You took that job for a reason. And now it ain't the job you hate. It's all the influences that cause you to question, should I be there? You all right in here? I want to pray for something. Can you stand? I feel the presence of God. And I don't care what color, gender, what position you hold in this church, or who you are. If you need God to restore the joy of your salvation so that creativity arises, I want you to slip your hands up in this place. No shame. No worry about who's looking at you. You're ready for a new fervor. And on this Pentecost Sunday, you want the great He to invade your life. Relationships are strained. Life is just, because there's no presence there. While those hands are lifted, perhaps you have a big dream in here, but you find yourself nomadic. You're just searching and wondering. You haven't settled in yet because you don't have a system to produce what's in your heart. You know God has called you to be great, but things are just not flowing, and you need God to come in and give you a system and show you who you are and where to be in life. That you lift your hands in here. I'm going to make an appeal, and if this is you, I want you to, and your hands are lifted, I want you to run. But if you're ready for a fresh encounter with God, if you're ready for the presence of God to invade your life and your life to never be the same, I don't want you to look around, but I want you to come from wherever you are all over this building, and I want you to flood this altar. Come. Come now from wherever you are. Come. Come on. Come. Come. Come on. Hey, listen, we are leaders here. You don't. If you, it's in your heart, come. I want you to flood this place. Yes. I want to tell somebody in here that on the other side of your problem is a promise and a great promotion. Y'all hear me? Just worship God. A buddy of mine is in a great management position now, but how he got there was the weirdest thing. He had people coming to him asking him questions that got on his nerves. And instead of going off on people, he created a manual, a how-to manual, and why you do certain things, and presented it to his boss. And his boss saw something inside of him that she never knew was there. Can I tell you, if you're frustrated right now, on the other side of your problem, God has put a promise that will cause you to dig deep. And God's about to fill you up with His presence. And your life will never be the same again. Can you lift your hands in worship? Praise, I need you guys to sing something. God, we bless you now. We're getting ready to go into a place. God's getting ready to outpour. If you're at your seat, listen, don't just look. I want you to get ready to worship. I want you to talk to God. Something great is about to happen. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Something is about to break. Something is about to change. All the frustration is about to leave because your answer is about to reside in your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship you right now. And God, we thank you. God, we bless you right now. Come on, worship Him. Come on. Just open your mouth and cry out to Him right now. God, we thank you. Jesus. Come on, let's worship God.